Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Jonathan Karl's new book, Betrayal, was published this week. Some of the juicier tidbits included Michael Flynn and his call for the military to stop Joe Biden from taking office. Stephen Colbert said, remember, this was a former general making a call to the military demanding they support a fascist coup. What is wrong with him? It's 2021. Just text Seth Meyers. According to the book, former acting defense secretary Christopher Miller purposely offered and then presented Trump extreme military scenarios in the final week of his presidency to prevent him from choosing to attack Iran. Unfortunately, he opted for the craziest one, attacking the U.S. Meanwhile, for this infrastructure bill, they had a bill signing celebration. Trevor asked, why are they even having a bill signing celebration? Passing laws is their job, but nobody else gets to do that at their job. Like after you make photocopies for your boss at the office, you don't get to pose for pictures with him while shaking hands. I didn't think you could do a double-sided. Well done, Billy. Well done. Seth Meyers, during the signing ceremony, President Biden twice referred to Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema as Kristen, and that's the worst thing you can call her besides a Democrat. She hates that. Trevor Noah. And guys, why do they have to sign the bill in public? I mean, I know this is important legislation, but as a spectator sport, it's pretty boring. Where's the drama? Oh, maybe the pen will run out of ink. I watched Michael Che's new special on Netflix, and the wife came down, and she's like, is this good? And I'm like, it's all right. Pregnant pause of the podcast. It's all right. I watched it. Towards the end, he goes into a particular set of material I will not spoil for you yet, but it involves puppets, and I laughed. Other than that, it was just, you know, it was nice company. It wasn't funny. I think he got a lot of clapter, especially in his closer, so who knows. And then I read Vulture's headline that said, Michael Che is better than this. And I went, yeah, they nailed it. I did not want Vulture's review to influence my own review, so I have not read this at all beyond the sentence, Michael Che is better than this. Let's see what Vulture said. Shame the Devil is his roll out of bed special. It's a chat on the stoop, a late night musing, a hangout with a buddy to shoot the crap. Without moving from his stool or shifting from his slouch, Che runs sleepily through his act in the cavernous darkness of Oakland's Fox Theater. Yeah, he didn't move at all. He sat down and he sat down. There's no obvious salesmanship, or rather, there's the studied salesmanship of relaxed amiability. Nobody's trying here, man. You know how hard it was to put on pants with a waistband after the shutdown? Just be happy he's in shoes. Vulture says they're happy because it makes Shame the Devil a refreshingly downbeat experience. It is very downbeat. I don't know. It's all right. It's all right. Lane Spurkus used the Facebook group, a daily comedy news podcast group. He used it correctly by posting, Saturday, I watched the New York Comedy Festival's New York Funniest Stand-Up Competition Finals held at Caroline's and streaming on Mint Comedy, but the stream didn't show who won. Today, I see that Jordan Jensen was named winner. Lane, thank you. I didn't realize that was being streamed. I would have checked that out. Lane adds, congratulations to Jordan Jensen. And I personally thought, this is Lane speaking, Zach Zimmerman had the best set by virtue of an ungodly last-per-minute rate, but Jensen's set was excellent too. The neat thing about Jensen was that her performance had a relaxed, improvised, even crowd-worky feel that really distinguished it. The others felt more tightly scripted. See, that's a perfect, perfect use of the Facebook group Daily Comedy News Podcast. Thank you, Lane. Jackie Cation has a new album. The album is called Staycation. No, not like a staycation, more like a Cation Stay. You know what I'm saying. Staycation, Jackie Cation, available now. Deadline says Party Down is coming back. Adam Scott, Jane Lynch, Ken Marino, Martin Starr, Ryan Hansen, and Megan Mullally have closed deals to return for the new season. Wait, what happened to Lizzie Kaplan? Her schedule could not accommodate Party Down's 2022 production, believed to be in mid-January. So guys, she was like the glue for the first two seasons of Party Down. Maybe don't make it. I kind of feel like maybe not quite that you're telling me that they're making a show about Elaine, George, and Kramer. I feel like something's missing. So no Lizzie Kaplan in season three of Party Down. If you've never seen it, it's on Hulu. It's a good watch. And I feel like it's a spiritual cousin of the other two, which is on HBO Max these days. But Party Down's on Hulu. I like it a lot. 10 years ago, didn't watch it, didn't hear about it. It, in fact, got a 0.0 in the ratings. So nobody watched it. And then Vulture started talking about it. I checked it out. It's really good. Party Down follows a Los Angeles catering team, a sextet of Hollywood wannabes stuck working for tips while hoping their big break is about to happen. Each half hour finds the hapless catering team working a new event and inevitably getting tangled up with the colorful guests and their absurd lives. Jeffrey Hirsch, president and CEO at Stars with a Z, says after more than 10 years, we're excited to have the cast, many of whom are now hugely popular award-winning stars, return to don their pink bow ties and head back to the party. The fan demand for Party Down revival is clear, and we look forward to what Rob Paul, John Dan, and now Adam will do as they bring this special project and these hilarious characters back to life. From The Hollywood Reporter, Fables is a new animated series. Some of the voice talent, Jermaine Clement, you know him from What We Do in the Shadows, the movie, is what his credit is now. What happened to Flight of the Conchords? We're not doing that? All right. Natasha Lyonne, you know her from Russian Doll. J.B. Smoove from Curb. And Ricky Gervais from Everything. Ricky Gervais will narrate the series in which classic fables such as The Tortoise and the Hare, The Lion and the Mouse, and The Boy Who Cried Wolf, copywriting rule of three, are given a modern-day twist. Love the voice cast. Idea sounds great. It sounds great. We haven't done a John Mulaney review for a while. This one in lshoreville.com. John Mulaney starts from scratch in his new and hilarious morbid comedy tour. Senior marketing major Madeline Crelo praised John Mulaney for his genuineness, saying his show had a different, more real vibe to it than before, which felt more authentic and felt as though we were getting the real John Mulaney. He does not hold back about anything and has a great sense of humor about all the latest happenings in his life. One of the standout bits in the show is near the end, where he read the audience a hilarious GQ article that he was interviewed for over the phone. While being high out of his mind, he describes his responses, which were more than out of pocket. He answered the question, "How was your day?" by telling the journalist that he could not stop thinking about a haunted building he walked past in earlier in the day in New York City. John even interacted with a few audience members throughout the show. One audience member he chose to call out was a 14-year-old boy who he targeted because of his age, joking with him about not being prepared for the dismal nature of the show. He would keep referring back to the boy sarcastically whenever he would bring up something related to his addiction or how he started abusing drugs from a young age. Mulaney did put a large emphasis on how beneficial his rehab experience was for him and how grateful he was for the overwhelming amount of support from fans that allowed him to be able to do stand-up again. All in all, From Scratch left no room for disappointment for Mulaney fans and dark comedy fans alike. Audible is premiering a new scripted comedy podcast starring Will Forte. That's out today. It is called Middle Space, The Rebels Attack, and then The Other Side Attacks as Well. It is a science fiction parody. It co-stars Wyatt Cenac, Sherry Oteri, mentioned for the second day in a row on this podcast, Clark Duke, Gillian Jacobs, and Rainn Wilson. John Malkovich is your narrator, the creator, Paul Lieberstein from The Office. It tells the story of a bored, daydreaming starship captain who stumbles into a chance to become a hero. You're probably wondering, what could beer, boats, and biology possibly have in common? It could have been last night's trivia night. There was definitely beer, but I'm recording this before I went to trivia, so I don't know if there are questions about boats and biology. But if you need beer, boats, biology all together at once, you should check out Submerged with Dan Bublitz Jr. It's a weekly interview-style podcast about obsessions. Listen to what he has this week, man. Toy collector Eric Braley from Toy Robot Magazine. I'm in. They talk Transformers. Eric shares information about his personal collection, including how many he has, his most valuable piece, and which one is his favorite. He also explains why he started collecting Transformers and what led him to co-found Toy Robot Magazine, a publication dedicated to... I'm glad Dan put this in the description. All right, let's play trivia here. Toy Robot Magazine covers A, sports, B, naked chicks, C, toy robots. What does Toy Robot Magazine know? If you said naked chicks, you're wrong. It covers toy robots. In each episode, Dan sits down with comedians, artists, everyday people, robot collectors, anybody who submerges him into the things that they love, sharing their passion for topics such as pop culture, hobbies, science, sports, toy robots, much more. Submerge with Dan Bublitz Jr. every Wednesday, available on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and all those other podcast platforms. Submerge with Dan Bublitz Jr. sponsors today's Daily Comedy News. Thank you, Dan. Let's head on over to Gossip Corner. British tabloid The Sun says Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson's relationship will fizzle out as they cannot satisfy each other. This from a psychic. Spiritual coach Samantha Jane spoke about Pete and Kim's compatibility. She said, although these two may get along pretty well in the beginning, after all, he's charming and she does love to be charmed. It's all part of wanting the perfect love and to be adored. What they have is an amazing foundation for a lifelong friendship, but not love. She further explained that Pete is a Scorpio male. He'll always be attracted to a beautiful, intelligent woman. And Kim definitely is one of those. If he's true to his sign, he'll obsess with wanting to be with her if she captures his heart. However, they are such different beings. Their connection consists of intelligent conversation about the work they are doing. Yeah. Yeah, Pete and Kim talking about whatever. Their careers, what they want to achieve in life. But when it comes to love, they cannot give each other what they need. So if these two do hit it off, I'm pretty sure it will fizzle out in time. Oh, no. She says Pete Davidson has the perfect energy to match her maternal energy, and she will find herself wanting to come in and rescue Pete. However, this attraction will soon fade as he becomes hard work for her to be anything more than friends. He likes his way of being and will not want to change for Kim Kardashian. Kim needs to be with somebody with a more positive outlook on life. Pete Davidson will also come to learn that she is not the emotional connection he needs. Someone to be there for him all the time and to pick him up when he's down. And this is something she has struggled with in her previous relationships too. Scorpios always have a way with words and are very open about their emotions. Again, this is the way I feel with Kim. This could be the biggest issue here. He'll want more from her. And it simply isn't her. It's not how she does love. Now, I'm thinking about this. I just want downloads. And Gossip Corner brings the downloads. What if Pete and Kim break up? And Pete starts dating John Mulaney's ex-wife, Anna Marie Tendler. Now that would be good Gossip Corner, would it not? What do you think, Pete? And from CNN, your home for comedy news, an uncomfortable monkey. You're like, where's he going with this? An uncomfortable monkey and some singing fish. Where's he going with this? From CNN, your home for comedy news, an uncomfortable monkey and some singing fish star in Comedy Wildlife Photography Awards 2021. That's where I'm going with it. An image of a golden sink monkey wearing a pained expression has won the overall prize. I shared this on the Daily Comedy News Facebook group. Basically, the monkey landed on a string, or looks like he landed on a string and heard his monkey parts. Know what I'm saying? He's got that kind of face. I feel bad for the monkey, but hey, it's a comedy podcast. I got to make fun of something. Sorry, monkey. Last year's winner was Mark Fitzpatrick's photo of a turtle appearing to put its middle finger up to the camera. Love it. 2 years ago, Sarah Skinner came at first with her shot of a lion cub making a wince-inducing pounce toward the nether legions of a bigger cat. It's the Comedy Wildlife Photography Awards, and that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Good Pods, wherever you get your podcasts. See you tomorrow.